Okay, continuing in Sefer Shoftim, we are now up to Parakhet, chapter 8. Pasuk Aleph. Vayomru Elov Ish Ephraim. And the men of Ephraim said to Gidon. Just to recount where we're holding here, what happened at the end of chapter 7, we actually kind of rushed through the last bunch of psukim. We may go back a little bit, but Gidon and his 300 men attacked the Midianite camp, and they scared them. The Midianite camp started fighting within themselves. They weren't sure who they were fighting. They fled, and they were, Gidon sent messengers or to close off the Yarden, to block it off so people couldn't cross, so the Midianites couldn't cross the Jordan. They would be cut off, and they captured two of the main officers, the main leaders of Midian. That's in the last pasuk in Parak Zion, Orev and Ze'ev, and they killed them. And that's how chapter 7 ended. An entire class here. So the men of Ephraim say to Gidon, Mo hadavar hazeh asisa lanu. What is this thing that you have done to us? Revilti kros lanu. Not to call to us. Yehalachta lehilachim b'midyan. Because you went to fight with Midian, and you didn't invite us to join you. Vayerivon ito b'chazko. And they argued with him forcefully. The men of Ephraim were upset with Gidon for not inviting them to join them in battle. What are they referring to? Right, if we look back at Perek Vav, Pasuk Lamed Hey, way back in chapter 6, Pasuk Lamed Hey, when Gidon prepares for battle with Midian, he says, "Umalochim salach b'chol Menasheh," and he sent messengers in all of Menasheh. Vayizaykam hu acharav, and he gathered the men of Menasheh after him. Umalochim salach to Asher uvizruun uvenaftali, and he sent messengers to Asher, Zruun, and Naftali. Vayalu, he crossed them, and they went up to greet them. That's who he invited to battle. No mention of Sefer Ephraim. We jump ahead to the end of chapter 7, in Pasuk Chaf Dalid. So they're chasing after Midian, and in Pasuk Chaf Dalid says, "U'malochim shalach Gidon b'chol har Ephraim leimor," and he sent messengers in all of har Ephraim saying, "Redu likas Midian, come down to greet Midian." Block them off at the water, Ad Beis Barav Es HaYarden, until this place, all along the Jordan, Vayitzai Kol Ish Ephraim, and the men of Ephraim all gathered. So here at the end of the story, he now, I guess, needs assistance from Ephraim, so now he calls them, and then in the next pasuk in the Chafei, Vayil Kedush Neisari Midian Es Arev Es Even, they, the men of Ephraim, captured the officers of Midian. It was the men of Ephraim who captured these two generals of Midian. But he only invited them into the fray right at the end as things were finishing up. So they said, What have you done to us to not call on us? Did you think that we weren't worthy? We're certainly worthy. And why didn't you invite us? Pasuk Beis Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, what have I done right now like you have done? Halotov Olulos Ephraim Mivitzir Abiezer. The Olulos of Ephraim, the gleaning, so it refers specifically to the grape harvest where the olulos refer to the like small bad grapes that you sort of leave for last. You might still pick them, but they're usually left for last. The Betzir Aviezer, from the Betzir, from the harvest of Aviezer, which was Gidon's family. The olulos Ephraim, even the worst grapes of Ephraim are better than the harvest of Abiezer of my family. So what's he telling them? So the Nefarshim explain. So the Betzir, like as I mentioned, is the harvest. That's the beginning. The beginning of the harvest is called the Betzir. Betzir happens to be a word that's normally associated with olives, I think, unless I'm getting mixed up. But it does refer to the beginning of the harvest. So the beginning of the harvest, you know, that we had the Betzir. We were the ones who did the beginning of the harvest. And you did the olos, you did the end of the harvest. But your portion, your contribution to this campaign was tov, was better than ours. Because although you're right, we started things off, and it seems that what you did was small, but really what you did was very important and very great to be the ones to cut off the generals from escaping and to, in the end, take their lives. So, what? No, he's trying to appease them. They're very upset that they weren't invited into battle earlier, and he's telling them, you know, don't worry, he's like praising them, and that way he's trying to dispel calm the situation. And that's how he's dealing with their anger and saying, oh, you guys are great. You know, he's not arguing back. He's just praising and you know, flattering. And that way the anger will hopefully subside, which it didn't.
So he's, was there a reason why they weren't brought into labor?
I don't know. I'm not sure what. I'm sure there was. I'm not sure what the reason was.
Well, he wasn't telling them a specific reason. He was just trying to appease them.
Right, right. In the end, they were needed, I guess. So then he called them. Now, it happens to be that we, when we learned, you know, about the introduction to the battle, so they started off with 32,000 people, and then Hashem said, "Oh, you have too many people. I want this to look miraculous." And in the end, it got it got downsized to just 300 people, and it was just 300 men that went with Edom. And so even if he had invited Ephraim, like, how many of them would have actually participated? You know, possibly, likely very few. Now there is one commentary who learns, quoting there, the Mincha Ketana, learns that was exactly what they were saying. They were trying to say, you had only 300 men join you because only those who were worthy could join you. And you're trying to say that we aren't worthy, and that's what Gideon has to respond to. But that's one approach to what he's telling them. He's saying that it's true, I did the beginning of the harvest and you did the end, and yours was much smaller than what we did, but yours was more important. The Ralbag learned slightly differently, that he was just praising them just for their might and their strength. That he was saying the olos, the worst grapes, the worst of the harvest of Ephraim, your worst soldiers are greater than the batzir, the choice harvest of my army. So again, just praising them to try to subdue their anger. But just a praise, you know, why didn't you include us? He said, oh, you guys are great. Your worst warriors, your olos, the ones that you know, the grapes that are left for last are even greater than our mightiest warriors, our butts here, our choice of the heart. I don't know if there's anything. I don't think so.
There's a footnote earlier on that says that he summoned the tribes he did because they were to the north, and that they were therefore not cut off by the presence of the enemy.
So they say based on that what their complaint was? Do they explain then what Ephraim was upset about? If it was no. Okay, the answer is people get upset for, you know, even when it's not necessarily warranted. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Biyedchem nasan Elokim estare midyan. Oh, so here he explains, right? You were greater, your action was greater. Into your hands Hashem gave the officers of Midyan, Es-Ored the Es-Ze'ev, these two officers, Ored and Ze'ev, Umay Yacholti also Shachem, what could I do like you? Oz Rach Baruch HaMe'olav, the Pasuk testifies, and then their ruach, their spirit softened, their anger was dispelled. The Dabro Hadabar Azeh in speaking this matter. So again, Gidon takes an approach of of humility. He doesn't argue with them. He just says okay, and he praises them, and that seems to calm them effectively. Pasuk Dalid. Vayavo Gidon Hayardena, and Gidon came to the Jordan. Over who Ushlosh Neoso Isasherito, for him to cross over, and the 300 men that were with him, Ayefim Virotim. They were tired and they were chasing the enemy. Now, where are they going? They're going, we'll see in the coming Pesukim, to chase down more Midianites, but specifically two other generals of the Midianite army, Zebach and Salmuna. How did Zebach and Salmuna manage to cross the Jordan if the command had gone out to cut off the Jordan to block off the escape of the Midianites? And we saw that it was actually effective with the first two generals, the Av and Orev. But here, Gidon has to cross the Jordan in order to track down Zebach and Salmuna. So, two possibilities offered by the offered by somebody. I didn't write down who says this. I think it's the David. Very simple. I mean, possibilities. Either they just weren't part of the original army that came across the Jordan. They had hung back to loot the other side, the Me'avra Yarden, to fight the cities, the Jewish cities that were across the Yarden already, or they were the most frightened, or they fled early and managed to escape before the word had gone out to close off to block off their escape. But yeah, them and their soldiers. We'll see exactly how many soldiers. Yeah, so actually Rashi points this out, that the reason why he was going after them was because they had crossed the Yarding and were now fighting the tribes that were across the Yarding, Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh, half of Manasseh. So Pasuk, Hey, Vayomer, Laanse Sukkot. And he said to the men of Sukkot. So Gidon now arrives in the city of Sukkot, and again he and his men are tired, and they've been chasing the enemy, and he says to the men of Sukkot, "Tnuna tikros lechem ve'am asher baraglai. Please give bread to this nation that is with me, to my people, ki ayefim heim, because they are tired." It's interesting, he doesn't ask for himself. He says, "Please give to my men. They are tired. The Anochi Rodef after Zerach Samuna Malchim Midyan, and I am chasing after Zerach and Samuna, the kings of Midyan." Okay, so here he identifies them as kings. Perhaps they were even more important than the Sarim, the officers. They are the kings of Midyan. and he is trying to chase them down, and he asks the men of Sukkot, please give bread to my men. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Sarei Sukkot. And the officers of Sukkot said, Hakaf Zevach Zamuna Atav Yadecha, is the hand of the fist of Zevach and Tamuna already in your hand, Kiniteng with Vo'achal Lachem, that we should give bread to your army? And they refused, they would not give any bread to Gidon's army. This is a Jewish city of Sukkot.
On the other side of the Yard Game, right? Remember, where the 2.5 tribes came to Sukkot.
Are you talking about with the other Svatim?
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I was trying to think of a connection to that, and Yaakov also, he goes to, he names the place Sukkot, Yaakov Avinu. It may have been the same place. I don't remember, but if you want to make a connection, we could say, they definitely, they were materialistic. They didn't want to share their bread. I don't know, I'm just making a suggestion. If you want to connect,
I would suggest that they didn't know who's going to win. They're surrounded by the enemy on the other side of the Yard Game. They're on the eastern side. They're far more vulnerable. They picked the wrong winner.
Okay, so very good. So that's actually what some of the Mepharshim say, that they were scared to give them anything in case they lost, and then they would the enemy would come and take revenge on them. So that the Malbim actually presents it as follows. If you notice, Pasuk Hey, it's Vayomer La'anshei Sukkot, and he said to the men of Sukkot, and in Pasuk Vav, it's Vayomer Sarei Sukkot, and the officers of Sukkot said to him that they responded. So, simply understood, I would say, okay, they asked the people in general, and it's those in charge who are the ones to respond. Now, also, by the way, it's singular, Vayomer Sarei Sukkot, and the Vayomer is singular, Sarei officers is plural. Parshim just say they had one representative speaking on their behalf, but it's the officers who respond. But the Malbim says actually there was a separate request presented to the people in general, and another request presented to those in charge of the city, and that is that there's two possible reasons that they should have given, that they would be obligated to support Gidon and his troops. The first is simply the mitzvah of tzedakah. You have a group of men here, they're tired, they're hungry, they need tzedakah. And that's where it was that request that he approached the populace with, the general populace, and said, please, give tzedakah, support our troops. And when they refused, then he went to the officers and he came with from the obligation to support the military, not the tzedakah, not just support hungry people, but rather you have to support the army of Israel, and therefore from the coffers, from the city coffers, from the city taxes, you should provide food for your army. And that would be what the officers would be in charge of. And the Sarim respond that Hakach Zevach and Tamuna Atal Biyadecha is the fist or the hands of Zevach and Tamuna in your hand. So the Malbim says, like Mr. Sapper wanted to say, that they were afraid that if they lost the battle, if Gidon would lose, so then Midian would come and take revenge on them for supporting Gidon and his troops. Rashi says that they were like mocking him, sort of. That have you captured Zebach and Tamuna that you can glorify yourself that you've defeated Midian? you're not worthy yet to be supported, or I don't know exactly what they were, you know, what their claim was. That's what Rashi says. Is the hand of Zevach and Tammuz on your hand? That you can glorify yourself and say you saved us from Midian. You haven't done anything yet. The kings are still running around. They're still looting. They're still damaging. And therefore, either they were saying we don't have an obligation to support you, or we don't want to support you. Okay, they weren't necessarily doing the right thing, but right, that does seem that they want, yes, they wanted to remain neutral. Right. Again, you have to understand that, you know, these are, their lives are at stake, and there are pressures, and you know, it's hard to judge. But Gideon was not happy with their response, and in Pasuk Zion, Gideon says, "Vayomer Gideon." Lachain, therefore, since you refuse us to save Hashem as Zevach as Samuna Biyadi, when Hashem has given Zevach and Samuna into my hand, the Dastias the Sarchem as Totri Amidbar Ves Habarkanim. I will trample your flesh on the thorns of the desert and on the Barkanim, which are another type of thorns. I will provide you with a gruesome punishment or death. What his exact threat was, simply understood, it sounds like he was, well, actually, right, some learned that it means he would just hit them with, you know, beat them with the thorns. The Radak says that, no, it sounds like he was going to toss them onto the thorns, naked, imagine, and trample them. And then he adds in that the word Sukkot, actually, he says the reason why he chose this punishment is because this place was full of thorns. It was a thorny area in the desert, I guess, or wherever it was. And he says that that's why they called it Sukkot, because there's a pasuk in Iyov where the pasuk says, Hismale besukos oro, he'll fill his flesh with thorns. And there Sukkos happens to be spelled with a sin. But I guess you can interchange it, I'm not sure, but he says that's why it was made, you know, that's perhaps why it was called Sukkos, because Sukkos can actually mean thorns when spelled with a sin. Now, by the way, sorry, that was the Radak, I don't know. When the Radak quotes it, he quotes the pasuk in Iyov. Doesn't say where it is. He just says, as it says, Hismale besukos oro, and it spells sukos with a samach. So when I googled it to find out where this pasuk was, if it was a pasuk, where it was, so I was surprised to find that it was not in fact a samach, it was a sin. But it seems like there are other chazal that maybe, I didn't look, maybe there's a tree of Siv there, I'm not sure. I mean, it would be tree the same way for us, but there are other drushos from this pasuk that read that pasuk with a sonnet. So, anyways, so that's why it was called Sukkos, because it can mean thorns, and that's why he chose that specific punishment for them, because that was a place of thorns. Okay. Pasuk Ches. Vayal Misham Pinuel. And he went from there to Pinuel. Vayidaber Aleihem Kozot. And he spoke to them as follows. As in the same way, I think he presented them with the same question: Will you come to our defense? Sorry, will you provide us with bread? We're hungry. Vayanu oto ante Penuel, and the men of Penuel answered him, Kasher anu ante Sukkos, in the same fashion that the men of Sukkos answered. Vayomer gamu ante Penuel leimor, and he said to the men of Penuel, saying, Deshuvi v'shalom, when I return in peace, on my way back, etot es amigdal hazeh, I am going to destroy your tower. They had a, I don't know if the whole city was like around a tower. They had a tower that they could defend themselves from, and he felt that they at least did not have the same excuse that the men of Sukkos had, that they were afraid of the Midianites. They were fortified, they were protected, and they shouldn't have been scared and should have come to his defense. And as a punishment, he was going to destroy their tower that should have been their defense, and we'll see, you know, and take their lives as well. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Yud. The Zevach and Tamuna Bakarkar. And Zevach and Tamuna were in Karkar. Umachaneim Imam Tachamishas Asar Elef. And their camp was with them, approximately 15,000 men. Kol HaNosarim Mikol Machane B'nei Kedem. All that remained from the encampment of the B'nei Kedem, the Anoflim, and those who had fallen in the first battle, Meya V'esrim Elef Ish Sholeif Harem. 120,000 sword-bearing men. So in the first, it was 300 against 120,000, or 135,000. 120,000 men died in the first round, and 15,000 remained. There's a relatively famous story that I tried to look into to try to get some more information about it. It was not successful, but I quoted a number of places that the Maskilim wanted to mock the Torah or the Chazal's outlook on war, and they wanted to mock the whole idea of Chozrim Me'arfi HaMelchama, that people can return from battle if they have a Veiros, right? Like we learned that at the beginning of the battle, you announce whoever, first announced whoever built the house, or whoever got engaged, or whoever planted a vineyard can return. And then you say whoever is afraid can return. Mia Yare Beracha Alevov is allowed to return. And there's Machlokis in the Mishnah if that means really scared or scared of their Averos. And the Maskilim made a play to mock this, where they started with a big force. They started with a big army there, and they made, they had the Kohen come out and make, or the officer come out and make this announcement, and then, half the people left, and they made another announcement, and more people left, and then at the end, there were only two men left of the whole army, and there was a sign, I think, on them that said, like, Rabbi Shlomo Meir Kagan, the Chavetz Chaim, and I think the other one was Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. And they were mocking the Gedolim and mocking the Torah's outlook on war. So, and that was how the play ended. The curtain closed. That was the play. So when they pulled this over to, I think it was Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, so he said, they forgot to show the end of the story. They forgot to show the end of the play, right? It's true. You know what happened? The Zechus of the Chavetz Chaim, the Kohen Gadol, and the Zechus, he was the Kohen, and the Zechus of Reb Chaim Ozer, they won the battle. They defeated the enemy with just their merit. And that's really, this story of 300 men against 135,000, that it got It got downsized from 32,000 to 300, but you don't need that, right? You have the merits of course, the hand of Hashem on your side, and you could be victorious. Right. Avram and Eliezer. I mean, even if it was Avram and 318 men, it's still not, you know, such a large force. So that's another example. Right, precedent for the two. Right. Okay. Good. Pasuk Yud. Sorry, that was what we just did. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayal Gidon Derech Haschunei Va'ahalim. And Gidon went up by the way of the tent dwellers, Mikedem Lenovach V'Yad Baha, from Kedem to Novach and Yad Baha, these places, Vayaches HaMachaneh, and he struck the camp, HaMachaneh HaYavetach, and the camp was fortified. I guess that didn't help them. What is this, this Chune Olim, the tent dwellers? So, Rashi explains that this area was an area of sheep herders, and they lived in, like Bedouins, they lived in tents, and they would travel, they would move their camp. That was where they traveled through. I think the Ralbag says that they went this way, they wanted to search the tent, in case that's where the Zavach and Tamuna were hiding, and they did a massive search for them. I guess in the end they weren't hiding there. They finally found the camp, and that's another approach. Actually, he says is that they wanted to conceal themselves as they approached the camp. So it doesn't explain. Maybe they hid in the tent. But this was, by traveling this way, they would surprise the Midianite camp and be able to defeat them. And that's what happened by Yachas HaMachaneh, and they hit the camp. And right, Rashi also says this, he didn't take the normal route. That's why the Pasuk specifically tells us they went Derech HaShchunei Va'olim. They didn't take the normal roads. They went roundabout through the tent camp and made their way to the camp of the Midianites and attacked them. Vayon pasuk yabez vayonusu Zavach v'Tamuna, and Zavach and Tamuna fled. Vayirdof achareyem, and they chased after them. Vayilko deshnei malchei Midian, and they captured the two kings of Midian, es Zavach v'es Tamuna. Zavach and Tamuna, the Chol HaMachaneh Hecharid, and the entire camp was scared, was frightened, because they had now lost their leader. Vayasav Gidon ben Yoash min HaMelchama mil Ma'alei Hecharid. And Gidon ben Yoash returned from the war mil Ma'alei Hecharid, with the sun rising. Either it means it was the daytime, the sun was still high in the sky. The Malbim learns that it means that he attacked the camp at night, and at sunrise he returned, and again that was a safety concern that they didn't want to be seen during the day. So as the sun rose, he and his men fled back to, you know, where they had come from. Milamale Hakaris means that, according to the Malbim, with the rising of the sun, they fled the Midianite camp. Pasuk Yudalid, Vayulkod Na'ar Me'anse Sukos Vayishalehu, and they captured a young lad from the man of Sukos, and they asked him, they interviewed him. And he wrote down for him the names of the officers, of the leaders of Sukkos, and the elders, Shivim v'shivayish, 77 men. And what happened? Vayobo el anshei Sukkos, and he came to the men of Sukkos, Vayomer, and he said to them, Hinei Zevach v'tamuna, here's the heads, I guess, of Zevach and Tamuna, Asher cheiraftem osi neymar, that you mocked me, saying, Akav Zevach v'tamuna atzab yadecha, is the hand of Zevach and Tamuna already in your hand? Hinitein la'anasecha ye'etim lachem, that we should give you bread. Right, that's what you people of Sukkos said to us. You said, you mocked us, you said we won't give you anything. Have you captured Zevach and Tamuna yet? And here they are. Vayikach es ziknei ha'ir, and he took the elders of the city, the kotei hamidbar v'esa barkanim, and he took the thorns of the desert and the thistles. Vayoda bohem es anshe sukos, and he, yoda here means that he hit them, he struck, or he broke them, I think, actually. He broke them, broke, I guess, the men of Sukkos with these thorns. So the simple reading has us, you know, seems like groups everyone together, or actually really the simple reading, I would say, sounds like he was doing this to the elders of Sukkos. Not so clear. You have, first he separates out the elders, then Vayobo Anshei Sukkos, and comes the men of Sukkos, and he says, oh, you insulted us. So who's, is it the men of Sukkos? Is it the elders of Sukkos? Who is he enacting this punishment against? So the Malbim, what? Why did they have 77? I don't think it was for a specific number. It wasn't, also it was the officers and the elders combined. So it was different positions happened to add up to 77. So the Malbim explains that the elders had a good excuse. Their excuse that they were scared, that in terms of supporting the army, that you can't expect the city to support the army, that was considered a valid excuse. And therefore he didn't, and therefore there, you know, it wasn't taxable, it wasn't something that the city should get involved in, and therefore he learns that no, the elders were spared, in fact. That's why he wanted to know who the elders were, because they were to be spared the punishment. They had a good excuse. But the men of Sukkos, right, in Tesfah, Vayobo El Anshei Sukkos. And then after he finds out who the elders are and separates them out, then he comes to the men of Sukkos and says, you mock me. And you don't have a good excuse. For tzedakah, I guess, first of all, we have to answer why they weren't scared to give tzedakah. He holds that they shouldn't have been scared of. Perhaps if it wasn't official, you know, like the whole city presenting, you know, supporting the army, then there wasn't that fear of retribution at the hands of the Midianites. He's saying it was valid for this, as a city, for the officers to be scared of a retribution from the Midianites. But on the individual level, when I asked for tzedakah, so that you should have done, they wouldn't have sought revenge against you. You should have given the tzedakah. And instead, you mocked me, you mocked us, and therefore, the Malbim warns it was the men of Sukkos, the people, the populace, that were punished, but not the leaders. Now, they were taking a side. He learned they were taking a side. They were spared. Yeah. And actually, the Malbim learned that at the end of Tesdayin, when it says Vayoda Bohem Eis Anshe Sukkos, so we gave one interpretation of that, those words, which is, and he broke them. He broke the men of Sukkos with these thorns. The Radak offers another approach that he let them know their sin with them. By Yoda, the simple understanding is from the Sharish Yodea, which means to know, and he let them know what their sin was, that, you know, that they were at fault here by, you know, smacking them with these kotzim, or guys, according to Radak, he learned by throwing them naked onto the thorns and trampling them. And the Malvin though says Vayoda, Vayoda Bohem. The Bohem is referring to, it's referring to the leaders, that he had the leaders punish the people. So, you know, that you should take responsibility for your people and you should punish them. Now, what's not explained is why the leaders themselves are also not responsible for not giving tzedakah from the personal office. And fine, as the leaders, they should have been expected, you know, to make a, you know, municipal decision to support the army, and maybe that was punishable, but maybe on a personal level they should have given tzedakah. But it could be that, no, it could be that also, you know, as the leaders, if the people would have given tzedakah, you know, the Midianites wouldn't have avenged them. But even the leaders, if the leaders would have given tzedakah, then that would have been, you know, that would have upset the Midianites, and they would have taken revenge, and so they could be scared of giving tzedakah as well. Right. But apparently, right. Apparently, though, the Malbim is learning that that it's you know, they're not at fault, and they were the ones that they were spared, and only the people were punished. Now, yeah, I mean, he's right. The Pashut reading of the Pesukim, I think, has for at least the leaders being punished, and maybe everyone being punished. But he's being Madaic, it keeps switching. Right. Yeah. Now, right. Now here he says, "Asher chayrastem oti." Right. In Tezrav, he says that you mocked me. Now, we mentioned before that it may have been just out of fear, but the Kriyakari point says that even if they spoke, you know, if they justified what they were doing out of fear, you don't understood that was just an answer. That was just a excuse that they were giving. This would not be like the Malbim. The Malbim seems to learn that it was a valid one. But if we assume that the leaders were in fact punished, despite their, you know, their excuse that they were scared, the Tzliyakar is saying that that's because Gidon saw through their excuse and he understood the Chayraftimos, so you were mocking me. It wasn't just your excuse that you were scared was just a tarot. That's all it was. It was just an excuse. But it really came. You just didn't want to help. You just wanted to, you know, and you were really just mocking me. And then we have Pasuk Yedayin. There's Migdal Penuel Nota, and the tower of Penuel he destroyed. Vayaharog es Anshei Ha'ir. And he killed the men of the city. So he goes back, just like he went back to Sukkos and exacted revenge on them. He goes back to Penuel, destroys their city, and here he doesn't spare anyone, because again, here there was no excuse being scared because they had a fortified tower, and so he had them all killed. Perhaps next week we'll touch on what authority Gidon has to, you know, to do these things.